This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. This is your host, Tim Link, and I'm so glad you're joining us today. Super duper excited. Got one of my favorites on. It's been a minute or two. We're talking offline. It's like, oh my God, time flies. So yes, what my mom and dad used to say is true. But we're so glad to have her back. We got Kate Conte coming back on the show. Yeah, we're going to talk to Kate about her latest book, Claws Out. Of course, it's part of the Cat Cafe mystery series. So we want to see what the ins and outs are without giving it all away. See who may be some existing characters we know, some new characters on board. And then, of course, we won't let Kate off the hook without telling her how she masters her craft of writing. So it's going to be a great show, a lot of fun. So everybody hang tight. We'll come back right after this commercial break. You're listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio.
You know the expression, cats have nine lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations, too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Joining me now is award-winning author and the release of the new book, Claws Out. Of course, we're talking to Kate Conte. Kate, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Tim. Thanks for having me.
We're super-duper excited to have you back on and super excited for the latest book, Claws Out, part of the Cat Cafe Mystery Series. So tell us a little bit about this particular book and, give us the highlights.
Yeah, this book was a fun one to write. So I decided that the gang had to get off the island because, you know, in true Cabot Cove fashion, there were a lot of dead people in a very small amount of square footage. So Maddie ended up getting gifted a food truck that they turned into a mobile cat cafe / food cafe. And so they take this truck off the island and they go to the Provincetown Cat Literary Festival, where, of course, murder and mayhem ensue, and a famous author is murdered, and all kinds of problems arise.
I love that. You know, and whether we're on the island or off the island, if you're a famous person, don't go.
Yep, 100%.
Oh, my goodness. So tell us a little bit about how this book maybe is a little bit different, or how did it tie into the rest of the Cat Cafe mystery series. How do we go about doing that?
Yeah, so it's a little different, but, you know, it's still the same people. We've just got a limited amount of the normal crew. Maddie's entire family ended up coming for the trip. And of course, Lucas, her boyfriend, and some of the shelter people. So Adele and Harry, who end up being big parts of the mystery. So, you know, you're still going to see a lot of the same characters. They're just not going to be in their usual place. And they're meeting a whole bunch of new friends that, you know, are going to become part of the story as well this time.
Good. And maybe even become part of the casualties, possibly.
You know, you never know.
Never know. You never want to get... It's great to be friends with your main character, but it's also forewarned. If, you know, read in advance. You never know.
Yeah, she's always worried that her boyfriend's going to start wondering, like, should I actually be dating this girl?
Well, I'll just leave it at that. I'll let the audience decide that. So when putting together this particular part of the series, this particular book, Claws Out, picking your brain on that and tying it into a whole series, how do you determine what the next steps are? I mean, are you that far in advance where you're saying, okay, I already got the next two or three books because I have an idea where I want my main characters to go? Or is it something that pops up in your mindset or in today's society and newspapers? Newspapers, I'm dating myself, aren't I?
Little. I'm a newspaper girl too. No, it's interesting. So this book was the last one on the contract that I had currently. I did get a contract for two more, so more books are coming, so don't worry. But this was the last one. So it was a three-book contract, which has been routinely what my contracts have been. So I have been planning out the books in kind of that three-book arc, right? It's related to the characters and their arcs and what they're doing. And so for this one, I honestly didn't think that they weren't going to renew the contract. So I didn't write this book as if it was going to be, you know, a potential end of a series. So that's something that we have to think about as we're getting to the end of a contract. So do we write two endings, you know, one if the series keeps going and one if it doesn't? Do we leave it ambiguous enough that, you know, we can maybe go in and make a few edits if it doesn't and we have to close the loop on things? I actually honestly didn't give that a thought when I was writing this one. I wanted them to go on a new adventure. I still had a lot of ideas for what Maddie and her crew could get up to. So, I was hopeful and it looks like the publisher also felt that way. So there's more books coming. So I didn't have to worry about wrapping it up so much. I did wrap up one storyline that was related to a secondary character. One of Maddie's family members had a storyline that was running through the last couple of books. So that gets wrapped up in this one.
That's fascinating. Picking your brain on that, because, you know, I have talked to obviously numerous authors, and a lot of times when there is, say, a series, a 3-book deal is usually the normal way of going. But I never, after all these years I've been doing this show, I started when I was very young, of course, but all the years I've been doing this show, I never even thought about that. And the fact that, hey, you know, as a writer, do I just assume that contract ends and maybe they'll buy a new series of mine or something? Or do, like you said, do I write two endings that could go either way? So if they do re-up me for another 1, 2, 3 more, I've got it in the can ready to go. So I think it's very fascinating to know that.
Yeah, it's, you know, you got to think about these things, right? Because if I don't think a lot of readers understand that we don't have the say, unless we're independently published, we don't have the say over whether a series is going to continue or not. And I've seen in, you know, multiple social media threads, readers expressing real dismay that, you know, their series ended, their favorite series ended, and they didn't feel like they got resolution, and almost, you know, seeming like they were angry at the author for doing that. And we have to kind of go in there and say, hey, if it was up to us, we'd keep going forever. But it's not always up to us, and we don't always have the notice, right, to, you know, plan for that.
Yeah. And there's so many things as an author that you go through because, you know, it is in the publisher/editor's hands on what they want to do. They don't often let you know well in advance, so you can prep for that to happen. And also, how do you handle that situation? Because, you know, you don't want to go killing off the main character. And we know we never kill off animals. Animals, kids, that's a no-no in all circles and all rounds. But the main character, you know, or even a secondary character, you don't want to just arbitrarily say, okay, I need to wrap them up. Unless this is a science fiction or horror book that we're dealing with where they always come back to life. But in this case, that's not true for this type of mystery.
Right. So, yeah, with the cozy, you know, people want to know. At the end of the day, people, I think, read cozies because at the end of every book, they want to know that even if they're reading about this, you know, murder and this crime and this terrible thing that happened, that they're going to get justice and they're going to get a nice happy ending tied up in a bow. And, you know, it's 10x for the series. They want to know if their series is ending, that all these people are okay, justice and order has been restored to town, and everyone's good, and they're, you know, riding off into the sunset.
I love that. And I love that terminology. Explain that to the audience a little bit more. I'm not saying they're naive to it, but a cozy. You know, I don't hear that very often, especially when we're talking about series of books, mystery series of books, but your books are, you know, really cozies. Explain that a little bit to us.
Yeah, that's what they call them. So cozy, it's a subgenre of the mystery genre. And they're really just books that are, there's no less of a crime involved. There's no less of a puzzle or a murder involved. They're just, you know, you're not going to find a lot of gore on the page in a cozy. Usually, well, most 99.5% of the time, I don't think I've ever seen a cozy that didn't have an amateur sleuth solving the mystery. They take place in small communities. So whether that be an actual small town or a small community within a larger town. And, you know, again, the whole premise is that justice is going to be restored. So you're not going to get one of these really sad endings or these really ambiguous endings related to the crime itself, because that's just the deal that cozy writers and readers have together.
Nice, nice. So putting together this particular book as part of the series, did you purposely go in to write, okay, here's the consistency, here's how I sort of written the previous two, here's how I've written the characters. Did you follow that sort of script moving forward, or was it something that was there a new twist or a new thought you had? Because obviously you've been writing these for a little while now, and you started very, very young, of course, too. Just like me. How did you go about doing that? Is there some difference in this particular one, or can everybody expect the sort of the same flow with similar characters and things?
Yeah, I mean, you know, again, it's a little different because they're not in their typical space, but the soul of the books and the series, it has not changed at all, right? So Maddie and Grandpa are still doing the investigating. There's still a lot of family involvement. There's still, you know, a lot of things happening that you would expect to see on Daybreak Island itself. And there's still a ton of animals involved. So JJ, of course, comes off island with them, as do some of the cafe cats, because they're coming in the mobile truck. So you still got the animal expertise going on in there. And then the plot itself is centered around a cat literary festival. So, you know, cats are still at the heart of things. Rescue is still at the heart of it. The organizers are a fundraising organization. The organizers of the Lit Festival are a fundraising organization, as well as authors that write about cats. So, you know, the heart of the series remains the same. But I just thought it would be fun to get them into a different location and doing some different things. And this time I took them to a real town. So I had to be a little bit more diligent about, you know, making sure that everything made sense, and that I'm actually going to Provincetown this week for a visit after, of course, I've written the book, but I haven't been there in a long time. So I'm like, wow, I hope I don't screw up the, you know, streets and the landmarks. And so I'd have a friend who goes all the time, kind of walk me through like, okay, this is still here and this works over here. And, you know, it's hard working with a real place. I haven't done that ever, just because it's a lot of work.
Yeah. Because the other books are, you know, I guess I viewed them as sort of a real place. You know, it is like not real, but based on something that's real. And I've always loved your writing in the fact that, you know, you have the main characters that we know and love. And obviously there's tons of animals involved, but each one of them seems to have a voice and a purpose for being here. It's just not, you know, arbitrarily, okay, we got our lead, we got Grandpa there, we got the boyfriend and a dog, and okay, let's throw out some other animals and everybody will be happy. They all seem to have a purpose or a reason for being in that particular conversation at the time.
Yeah, and JJ, you know, I don't know if I ever told you the story about JJ, the real JJ, but so JJ in the book is based on a cat that I had. He was a rescue. His real name was Junkyard Johnny. He was rescued from a junkyard in New Hampshire. And he was just the chunky orange cat. You know, I'm a sucker for orange cats. So I knew he had to be the, you know, the mascot of the books. But yeah, the way that Maddie even found JJ in the very first book at her grandmother's grave was meaningful, right? And, you know, I've always wanted the books to be meaningful in the sense of really focusing on rescue, focusing on, you know, what rescuers actually go through, and focusing on the animals themselves and how they have to live until they're rescued and what that means as a cause, right? I think people sometimes think, oh, the cute cats in the cafe. But 9 times out of 10, again, I don't know of any cat cafes that aren't tied to an actual rescue. So there's, like you said, a meaning and a purpose behind it.
That's right. And I love that. I love the aspect of it. And I will say, I'm a sucker for orange cats too. My story about my orange boy, Charles, is he showed up one day, as I thought he was a feral, but he just was the town greeter for all the females. We'll just put it that way. And so I started giving Charles, the big orange cat, little morsels, little food. Next thing I know, he brings his 3 females with him. And then a week later, we have about 9 kittens. And so needless to say, 13 cats later, all trapped, neutered, and released, and they all started to stay at the house. So, love those orange boys. We got to be careful for them. They're rascals.
Yeah, but thank you for fixing them. That's lovely.
Absolutely. Do that neutering and spaying. Take care of those animals for sure. Well, everybody, hang tight. We're going to come back right after this commercial break. We'll continue our conversation with award-winning author Kate Conte, talk to her a little bit more about her book, Claws Out, and then I want to pick her brain even further about writing. Yeah, is she a 5:30 a.m. girl every morning writing 10,000 words or not? Everybody, hang tight. We'll find out right after this commercial break. You're listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio.
As your dog or cat chewed through yet another set of sheets?
I get it. I've been there. But instead of replacing them with more scratchy, low-quality bedding, why not treat yourself to what Oprah and Kris Jenner sleep on every night? It's called Cozy Earth. And yes, it's as dreamy as it sounds. Their bamboo sheets and pajamas are buttery soft, cooling, moisture-wicking, and they actually get softer every time you wash them. I'm talking next-level snuggle mode here, folks. These sheets have been on Oprah's Favorite Things list 7 years in a row, and there's a reason why. Cozy Earth gives you the softest, coolest sleep of your life. And just for Pet Life Radio listeners, I scored you an exclusive 41% off. That's the biggest discount they offer anywhere. Just use promo code PETLIFERADIO at CozyEarth.com and sleep like the celebrity your pet already thinks you are. That's CozyEarth.com, promo code PETLIFERADIO. You'll thank me at bedtime.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Continue our conversation with award-winning author Kate Conte and her latest book, Claws Out. So, Kate, when people get a copy of the book, cozy up with it, and read straight through, because they're going to be fantastic, what do you hope people walk away from when reading this particular book or reading this series?
Yeah, I mean, to go back to the rescue piece that we were just talking about, I'm so passionate about that, and I really want people to... First, I want them to enjoy the book. I want them to be entertained. I want them to enjoy going back to visit friends that they have made, hopefully, over the series and, you know, catching up on their lives and going on a new adventure with them. And I also hope they can take away some tidbits about rescue. And like I said, about, you know, how rescuers work, what it means to actually do animal rescue, because sometimes it looks really fun and easy on the outside, but it is not. I mean, it's fun always, but it's not easy, right?
That's right.
And to just, you know, maybe think a minute before looking somewhere other than a shelter for a pet.
Absolutely. There's all kinds of fantastic animals out there of all types, cats, dogs, and the plethora that can be found at your local rescues. And yeah, it's very rewarding. As a former president of a humane society, I know that it's very rewarding, and I still am heavily involved in animal rescue, but it, you know, it's a lot of tear jerking and heartache as well, but that goes along with all the love. And I always encourage people with rescues to get involved with your local rescues at a grassroots level and offer whatever you can. It could be anything from petting and brushing the animals to if your skill set is website development, they need those type of people too, or fundraisers, et cetera, et cetera. So definitely reach out to your local rescues and get involved. You'll be glad you did.
Yes.
So let's talk a little bit about writing in general. I put a teaser out there. Are you, in fact, the 5:30 a.m., the alarm goes off, and I was going to say pen and pencil. I'm really dating myself on this show. Computer in hand, ready to go, doing those 10,000 words, or is it more of hopefully you're not like me and wait till a few weeks before deadline and then say, oh, no, I got to go, get it going.
I've had my deadline challenges, believe me. I think every writer has. But, you know, I usually don't wait till 3 weeks before the book is due to start writing the book. That would be nice.
Very smart. Very smart. Smarter than I am.
But I'm not a 5:30 in the morning girl. I do get up pretty early. I have a morning routine that I do. But part of that routine is I leave my laptop on the floor next to my bed. I know we're not supposed to have laptops in the bedroom and all that. But for me, it's easier to just reach down and pick the laptop up and start writing instead of having to walk into my office, get the computer. I mean, then you could just easily say, oh, I'll do it later. Right. So I have to trick myself into, you know, being able to do things very easily. So I do try to write in the morning. I have at least an hour blocked off before I take the dogs for a walk. I wish I could do 10,000 words in an hour. That would be amazing.
Yes.
And I would probably have the book done in like a month. But unfortunately, no. But I do try to shoot for like 1,000 words a day. And, you know, it's different for every writer. Some people don't do word count. It depends on where I am in the book, really. So when I'm drafting, I try to shoot for 1,000 words a day just to kind of keep myself in the story.
Nice. I like that. Yeah. And it is different for every author. You know, I don't know if I've ever heard the one you put the laptop or the pad where you'll trip on it in the morning. So you get the story of it. That's a first. So you're unique as usual on that. But there's no set reasoning or way of going about doing that. And that's why I always like picking the brains of the professionals out there, because there's no right or wrong as long as you get it, you know, in there and get it published. That's the key behind it.
Exactly. I say that to a lot of writers that I work with, like, you know, don't worry, but I'll tell you how I do it, but don't worry about doing it like I do it if that doesn't work for you, right? You hear 1,000 different examples if you talk to 1,000 different writers.
Exactly. Yeah. Everything from, you know, there are some authors that I talk to and work with that, you know, they storyboard everything out before they even start, which is great if you can do that. And others are, you know, per, you know, X number of words, they're going to stick to it. Some will say they never watch what they're typing, worry about the editing later, which I find extremely difficult to do. And so there's no real right or wrong reason to it. Just got to do it. That's the key thing behind it.
Yep. Consistency and just showing up, even if, you know, and also taking the time to think and to brainstorm about your work, right? A lot of people, and I do this myself, so I'll speak for myself. I get hung up on the, oh my God, I didn't write X amount of words today. No, but I spent, you know, 45 minutes thinking through my plot and planning out some scenes that I was missing or whatever it is, right? To help me tomorrow when I pick up the computer to go faster and be able to get more done. So yeah, it's not always just putting words on the page. If you're thinking about it or daydreaming about it, it's still writing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And there's always the research that goes behind it too. Like you just mentioned, you know, you're going to a real place, you know, which you have to sort of still keep it sort of a fictitious place, but a real town. So you have to get all the, you know, the information correct too. So it's not as easy as just, you know, Wikipedia, how a town is. You got to put a little bit more effort into it there.
For sure.
So as a writer, whether it's a first-time writer that's out there or even a seasoned pro that maybe has taken on a different type of genre or whatever it may be, any sage advice outside of do what works for you?
I mean, I think if you're tackling a different genre or if you're a new writer, you know, you have to come to it with the beginner's mindset, right? It's not going to be, and I'm saying this perfection thing because this has been my issue for so long. You can't come to it with a perfectionist mindset. You have to come to it with a beginner's mindset. You have to know that the first draft that you put down is going to be probably crap, but then you have something to work with. So you can get hung up on, oh my God, my first chapter isn't perfect and never write any farther than that. Or you can brain dump a bunch of crap and then go back and use it as a canvas and make it sound great. So, you know, I'm working on a different type of book right now that's different for me. I haven't written a book like this in a long time. And so I have to remind myself, it's not going to be great right out of the gate. You're going to have to do a few drafts of this thing before it takes any kind of shape at all. So just get the story down and stop worrying about it.
I love it. And I love how you phrase it. So brain dump crap, is that the professional terminology?
That's my professional terminology. Yep.
There you go. But you put it on a canvas, you know, it makes it nice. You know, it's like Picasso or something. So it works out well. That's fantastic. Well, Kate, where can people find out more about you, what's going on, where you'll be, where we can get the book, so on and so forth?
Yeah. So kateconti.com, you can find me there and you'll find links on the website to my podcast, my Substack, all the books, all the things.
Fantastic. So everybody go to kateconti.com. We'll make sure we get that posted. Pick up a copy of Claws Out while you're there. Pick up the rest of the Cat Cafe mystery series. You're going to enjoy it. It's a nice, fun, interesting mystery series with all kinds of animals. And it's a nice cozy too. So it works out for everybody. So pick up a copy of the book. Yeah. So thanks for coming on the show. And I'll look forward to chatting with you some more down the road.
Thank you for having me.
Well, we're coming to the end of the show today. I want to thank everyone for listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. I want to thank the producers and sponsors for making this show possible. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas for the show, drop us a line at petliferadio.com. We'll be glad to answer your questions, entertain your comments, and bring on the people you want to hear from most. And while you're there, check out all the other wonderful hosts and shows on petliferadio.com. It's a cornucopia of barking fun. So until next time, write a great story about the animals in your life, and who knows, you may be the next guest on Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Have a great day.
Let's Talk Pets. Every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.